Welcome to the Summaries of the Living God. The home groups of St. Nicholas Orthodox Church, East Melbourne, are studying the Living God, a catechism published by St. Vladimir Seminary Press. Today's summary is of Chapter 5, The Recognition of Christ God. John the Baptist. John, the son of the priest Zechariah and his aged wife Elizabeth, who had been considered sterile, was born 6 months before Jesus. Upon reaching maturity, he retired to the desert so as to be better able to hear the silent voice of God. While in the desert, John, the greatest of the prophets, receives the message, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." The baptism of Jesus. John, inspired by the Spirit of God, retires to the banks of the Jordan. There, the last of the prophets of the former covenant announces the imminent coming of the kingdom of God, that is, the kingdom of which God's Christ will be king. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," he repeats constantly. All those who were converted to the Lord, John prepared for entrance into the kingdom of God by washing them of their sins, that is, by baptizing them in the Jordan. At one point, Jesus of Nazareth came to him. As soon as John baptizes him, he sees the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. This is the long-awaited sign. Jesus is the one anointed by the Spirit of God. Thus it is Jesus who is revealed to be the Christ. From heaven a voice is heard exclaiming, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." John understands. He says to the assembled crowd, "And I have seen and have borne record that this is the Son of God." He remembers as well that Isaiah had prophesied, saying, "He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, he was stricken for the transgression of my people." That is why, in identifying Jesus with this suffering servant, John adds, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." With this, he summarizes in advance the mission of the Messiah as the suffering servant, the Lamb immolated for the sins of all mankind. It is only at his baptism that Jesus of Nazareth is manifested to the world as the Christ, the Son of God. It is at this point that his first disciples believed in him and recognized in him the long-awaited Christ. This is the reason why the Church celebrates the baptism of Jesus with such splendor as the great feast of the Epiphany or Theophany, and that occurs on the 6th of January of every year. The Manifestation of the Trinity. St. Cyril of Jerusalem tells us that in manifesting Jesus as Christ, the baptism of Jesus reveals to us at the same time the mystery of the divine Trinity. Indeed, for there to be a Christ, an anointed Son, there must be one who anoints him, that is, the Father, and one who is the unction, that is, the Holy Spirit who remains on him. Therefore, we cannot think of Christ without thinking at the same time of the Father and the Holy Spirit. Without them, the word Christ would have no meaning. We cannot confess Jesus as Christ without confessing the one God as God in three persons.
The Troparion or Hymn of the Feast. When thou, O Lord, wast baptized in the Jordan, the worship of the Trinity was made manifest. For the voice of the Father bare witness to thee, and called thee his beloved Son, and the Spirit in the form of a dove confirmed the truthfulness of his word. O Christ our God, who hast revealed thyself and hast enlightened the world, glory to thee. In this hymn of the feast, the witness of St. John the Baptist is not mentioned. He seems to withdraw in order to leave us face to face with the mystery of the Trinity. This corresponds to his role as the forerunner, the one who indicates to us where God is to be found, prepares us to receive him through penitence, and then retires. John will say later on, "This joy of mine is now full. He must increase, but I must decrease." The icon of the Trinity. Let us now turn to a very great work of art, Andrei Rublev's icon of the Holy Trinity. Rublev illustrated the narrative in Genesis chapter 18, where three mysterious angels visit Abraham. Let us recall the dialogue with Abraham. The patriarch addresses the angels sometimes in the singular, as thou, and sometimes in the plural, as you. This variation in language already hints at the unity in Trinity. Let us take the text of the Creed and place it beside a reproduction of the icon. One is struck at once by the fact that the composition of the painting echoes the profession of faith. I believe in one God. Rublev expresses unity both through the similarity of the three angels and through the circular pattern in which the three are represented. Everything concerning the Father is stated very briefly in the Creed, for he is the one about whom we can know almost nothing. In the icon, the first angel to the left is very pale, indefinable, almost transparent. The text of the Creed continues, like the icon, stopping longest at the figure of the Son, the second angel is facing us, manifesting himself completely to us. We know a great deal about the Son, for he became incarnate, allowing himself to be known and seen. His garment is of bright, clear colors, blue and brown. The blue stands for heaven, the brown is for the earth. Jesus is simultaneously God and man. Behind the central angel stands a tree. Its roots are planted in the earth. Its branches stretch out toward heaven. It is the wood of the cross, which through Christ becomes the tree of life in paradise. When speaking of the Holy Spirit, the Creed again is brief and succinct. It is He who gives us life, concretely and historically, yet His action remains secret and mysterious. The third angel, like the first one, is seen from an angle. The color of his garment, green, symbolizes the force of life. The three angels form a circle which is not closed. It seems to open at the spot where the chalice is standing on the table. The last part of the Creed deals with the Church. This is where we find the chalice of the Eucharist and where all men are united through baptism to take part in the feast of eternal life. We will finish our study of this magnificent icon as Rublev undoubtedly finished painting it with a prayer of pure adoration. Like the angels, like the seraphim and the cherubim, singing the thrice holy hymn to the life-creating Trinity. Holy, 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 Lord of Sabaoth.
Thank you for listening to this summary of the Living God. You can download these summaries from www.stnicholas.org.au. That's www.stnicholas.org.au. Look for the home groups link. Glory to God for all things.